closing down for the holidays.
Well, they didn't tell me exactly when. I hope they're open today.
Yeah.
No, they're open today.
Okay. Hey, you hear that? You know what it is? That's the Pepe's Secret Santa right there named Bernie. Bernie, good morning. How are you? And I make a Mexican food joke out of that somehow.
Joe.
Not today, but tamale.
Oh, okay, tamale.
Not today, but tamale. Okay.
Let's see. There's no H. Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to ask you about your history moment. You got one of some
nature? I do, and it's going to be about it's going to be about basically how two religious groups celebrate their uniqueness and their togetherness here in El Paso.
Oh, that's an interesting
during the holidays.
Interesting topic. Them Christians and them Jews.
Yeah.
Well, no, my father was on a council of Christians and Jews.
I know.
He was.
Oh, I know he was.
And I found I'm part Jewish.
Yes.
And you're part human as well.
Yes, I am.
And I'm so glad now that his name Bernie finally matches with that.
Well, Bernie being what you are, you're here back for another A to Z deal here.
Well, we're going to work mainly on a couple of things with the Christmas holidays. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of Christmas here in El Paso. We're going to talk a little bit about the presentation that took place a couple of weeks ago in Duranguito.
Ah, and that was only last Saturday.
It seems like a long time ago.
You said weeks.
I know. Yeah, when you're Christmas shopping, you're walking around the stores and stuff.
You lose track.
Time goes by so.
But today, A to Z, your Z is Zach.
Yes, it is.
Zach White.
You betcha.
Bouncing around, aren't you?
You know, that Zach White deal, he was an amazing dude. So that's part of your presentation
today. We'll be talking about that.
But also, how you been since I saw you last?
Been good. We were together this week.
We've been out doing some more video recording the next series of El Paso History TV items.
On ABC7.
ABC7. Where?
News comes first.
Yeah, you got to get that right here. Yeah. And you got to know when to say that.
Yes.
You don't just say that every time. You say it at the right moment. And it needs to be a promo.
Yes, Kevin, we love you.
Yeah, well, no, I talked to him this week.
Wait a minute. You guys are starting to hang out a lot
Christmas,
together.
I mean.
Well, just, watch Kevin's station and you'll do fine. And the thing is, they did a promo for us this morning. You were mentioned on the radio, on the TV.
Oh, okay.
We do that every Saturday. It's a trade out that we do with them. But anyway, so this whole thing about El Paso history being what it is. I think you're basically one of the few people who could qualify for being known as the El Paso historian or one of the El Paso
historians.
One of them,
yeah. There's several out there that are really good.
But see, some people think you have to be academic to do that, and some people who are academic are good historians.
Yeah.
But some academics get lost in their own world, and the practical part of what is history doesn't always come out. Yeah. And we don't get taught our history in this town. I keep saying that because it keeps being true. I grew up in the system. I wasn't taught only anything about anything in this town except San Jacinto Plaza. It had a battle attached to it. Texas became a country at that point. And, we're out of time. And remember the name and remember the Alamo.
And remember what time of day it took place.
Oh, goodness.
Was it raining? Was the sun shining?
I don't think I know
Full moon? I don't know.
But the thing is, El Paso history is rather large and diverse, which I think is why some people have had trouble getting their hands around it. Like, what is it?
Yeah.
Let's ask you, what is your definition of El Paso history? I mean, how would you define El Paso history?
I would say it's a montage of cultures that melded together on the border to create an environment that at one time was considered to be one of the fastest growing communities in the Southwest. In fact, in some of the research I was doing on Zach White, there was a handful of people that came in for the first large gathering at the Paso del Norte Hotel. People from New York, San Francisco, St. Louis, and they had predicted that El Paso would be over 100,000 people before any other city in Texas, New Mexico, and even Southern California.
Why did that not happen?
I think the styles changed, so to speak. I think the folks kind of got off kilter when it came to trying to promote the community. A number of things took place. Plus, California's climate historically has been very amenable to growth on the Pacific Ocean and so on, and they found gold.
Oh.
And that really created a growth spurt in California. And just the mystique of living in California, I think, created their growth.
Well, a bunch of those people had to come through here to get there.
They did, yeah.
And so El Paso was known, but it wasn't really turning into the big metropolis you thought.
No, it was interesting, too, because another bit of research I was doing on Ernst Kohlberg, he would send letters back to Germany and talk about what a dismal place it was. But
end of the earth, I think.
The end of the earth,
term,
yeah. But he said it's a great place to have a business and to earn a living and make money.
Well, the frontier was really wild, but it was also very active, and a lot of money was changing hands, not just in gambling and all that, but, I mean, in commerce.
Oh, yeah.
You had the Chihuahua and the Santa Fe Trail, or Santa Fe and Chihuahua, depending upon where you were standing at the time. Or if you're in El Paso, well, it goes left, it goes right, it goes up. But the thing is, it came through El Paso, and that helped add a lot to it. So if it depends on where you want to stop and look at El Paso history, what year. Because if you go like way back to the pre-Spanish, there wasn't much going on here.
That's true.
And as it slowly grew up with the Spanish coming through, I mean, there's a lot of things that changed. So, all right, you're looking at Zach White, and what else you want? Christmas in El Paso?
Christmas in El Paso.
What do you know about that?
Well, I know how much fun I have in El Paso at Christmas time.
Well, you guys were in that parade.
Oh, yeah.
You know they're going to rerun that parade this afternoon?
They are.
On ABC7, yeah.
Oh,
I heard the promo this morning.
So I get to see it this time.
Yes, you can not be in it, but see it.
I will have to TiVo that so I can watch it.
But so you guys were in the parade. What did you do? Oh, you drove the truck.
I drove the truck. Yeah, I'd had some foot surgery. So
he was wounded.
Yeah, I was a wounded veteran. So I was just kind of enjoying the scenery and listening to the crowd that was cheering us on,
because
they love the I know it sounds kind of weird, but they really love the gunfire in downtown El Paso.
It sort of shook
Christmas
people
time.
Up this year. But
well, there was one or two people that went nuts and said that they thought they were in Las Vegas. I went, excuse me.
Well.
So we've been doing this for, 18, 19 years? And I think that might be the last time that we're able to participate.
But because of that.
Because of that.
Well, what you could do is go to a location where people know what's going to happen. Don't be so surprised. And
everybody did, except for this person that complained.
You go along the parade route, and people are like, shoot your guns. You know, they're out there, they're excited about it, and they want you to do it. And so you get this one person that complains, but you've got all these other people along the parade route that want you to do it. So it's like, all I can say is if you like it, call them and tell them you enjoy it.
What you can do is tell that one person the parade's tomorrow. Don't come here.
Yeah.
I'm going to give out earplugs. But, you know, it's you talk about the Thanksgiving Day parade. When I talked to the folks there, they said, no, we love it. I mean, the crowd loves to see the makeups and stuff that we do.
Got Mr. Pancho Villa himself almost and Vince Sanchez.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He wanders. And you got, you guys are getting ready for the Sun Bowl, aren't you?
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, we're going to be doing the Fun Fam, which is the night before the Sun Bowl. And we'll be down there. It's a free event. They have music. They have the Battle of the Bands. They have lots of it's going to be the convention center. We'll have our jail. We'll have our bar. We've got we printed up some money with the logos for the two schools on it. And
It's a $3 bill. I tried to cash that earlier. Shelley wouldn't give me any change.
Yeah, the only change she'll give you is her hand to yours.
Ooh, boom.
But,
rim shot.
Yeah. But so we're going to do that, and then the next morning we'll be out in the fun zone, the family zone, where there's all kinds of games and things for people to do at the base of Kidd Field, the stair steps there. And it's free admission there. We'll be there with our fire pit and bales of hay.
Hot cider.
And that's generally where CBS starts the broadcast, is in our jail.
Yeah, every year I can't think of how many years, they always start from our jail there. They kick off the game with CBS. It's always an honor to have them there.
Have you ever seen the game?
No. Well, I'll tell you what. I've had season tickets for, over 20 years on the 50-yard line, and I've sat in it twice.
Oh, you just contribute to the cause?
No, I buy the tickets. I go up. I sit down for a minute or two, and we're out walking around the audience.
Oh, boy.
Just having a great old time with the fans. And, you know, I have seen a couple of folks that on CBS will say, well, there they are again.
Yeah, here they come.
Yeah.
Well, so that's kind of one of your Christmas traditions is hanging out with CBS Network.
Yeah, we love it. It's
that's
a lot
cool.
of fun.
And so what other Christmas traditions shall you discuss today?
Well, we have a little gathering a couple weeks before Christmas where we ask folks to bring a dry good, canned good, or something like that for the food bank. You know, we got nearly 200 pounds of food that we donated to the food bank this year. And we're going to continue with that little tradition. It's a lot of fun. Do a little bit of a barbecue bonfire in the backyard and just share stories.
You do your thing. Well, you mentioned that you do have some Christmas stories in El Paso. We're almost out of time on this segment. We have you for 2 hours, so don't think you can't get this done.
Yeah.
But I just thought other topics that you might want to talk about.
Well, you know, I think if you look at the history of the Christmas in El Paso, albeit everyone celebrated Christmas going back to its earliest days, it wasn't until 1916 that the first municipal Christmas tree was erected downtown in the plaza. It was actually in the Pioneer Plaza, not in San Jacinto.
When did San Jacinto Plaza become a thing?
A thing? Well, it was called the plaza for the first, I think, 10, 12 years.
Starting 1883,
I believe. 1882,
okay.
That, before that, it was actually the area where Ponce de Leon was grazing his cattle and his goats and his horses.
Was it a corral or something?
It was a very large corral.
Also, there's a marker there that at one time it was the post opposite El Paso.
Right.
Fort Bliss.
Very close
before Fort Bliss
became
the
post opposite Paso del Norte, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of history in that little piece of property.
It really is.
And when they named it after the great battle down in just outside of Houston, that it forevermore became the place to go to for those kinds of things. And it's gone through many iterations, you know, with the alligators and with the way it appears right now with all the beautiful Christmas lights. So holiday lights, I should say.
Well, I'm going to say Christmas lights. That's what they are. All right, taking a break here. Bernie Sargent's in the house. We're going to talk about all kinds of things El Paso, including Zach White. Eventually, we'll get to old Zach.
Yes, we'll get to him.
Zach was a bizarre dude. But this town was full of them.
But he was a very smart businessman. I mean, if you look at his trail, it's amazing.
Did we cover what we have to cover in the trivia contest?
Not yet.
Oh, no, we haven't.
We didn't even touch him.
We haven't touched any of it.
Go to the second hour question to see if people can get those, because he did say the first one.
Yeah, I did.
But the second one.
We haven't touched on the second one.
Question yet. Number four. I bet you somebody knows that.
Oh.
Let's just try.
Okay. We'll kind of bounce around. Okay.
Go to three and four.
We did talk about the first one, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Where was Zach Wright?
Zach White.
The
second hour.
Oh, second hour
question. Go to the second hour and use those.
Yeah, because I didn't mention where he was from. Yep.
Where was the
I'm
first?
I'm confused because I'm working over here.
Go to question three.
Okay, go to question three.
Hold on. I got to get a picture. She's working.
Oh, my God. You two. You should okay. Either get a room or get married.
Shut up, both of you.
What?
No. Okay. Where was the first municipal Christmas tree located in 1915?
Where?
Where was it?
Oh, I know. I heard him say it.
Yeah.
Okay. You have another question?
Okay. And the second one, when was the star on the Franklin Mountain first lit?
Now, we didn't talk about that today.
But that one we've talked about before, and a lot of people know that
one.
What
if you've been living here? You may know this.
That's
right.
Okay. So when was the – okay. Where was the first municipal Christmas tree located in 1915?
That's a donde question.
Yeah, donde. And when was the star on the Franklin Mountain first lit?
Oh, that's a drinking question.
Yes, I know.
No, it's not.
It depends on where you were seeing stars.
Okay. They just made that thing up and did that. It was just bizarre.
I think it was wonderful, and then the whole history behind it. Yeah. And then call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
It's the biggest music festival of the year, and it's coming to the CW.
The iHeartRadio Music Festival!
Don't miss the iconic performances.
Justin Timberlake.
Mariah Carey!
We've got Fleetwood Mac here!
You've been incredible, and I've been Jack White!
Powerful moments.
Tonight, we are all proud to be Vegas Strong.
Love this city, love everything it stands for.
Plus, some special surprises you are not going to want to miss.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on. Got callers on the phone, 544-5876. There's one line left. Let you know, San Elizario Historic District is having a big day today. Like you to join them, and they are doing a Luminario Festival with their Las Posadas Celebration and Christmas Bazaar. That's today from noon to 9 p.m. Cultural programs, a Christmas fair, reenactments, Christmas music. Plan a holiday adventure today at San Elizario. Details at SanElizarioHistoricDistrict.org. I'll let you know also, Paul Whitler's active again. He's the guy that's been putting the missing Pattersons newspaper articles on the website, ephistory.com, front page. And it's interesting to follow along. He's sort of doing it chronologically from 1957 to now. And the newspapers were playing catch-up on what happened here? Who are, where are these people? Missing Pattersons. Anyway, Paul's doing that. And for him, we thank him. And he is a graphic designer himself, 581-7054. 581-7054. Just call him up and say, Merry Christmas, I don't need your graphics.
Yeah.
No. But if you
I don't need your graphics.
But if you do need, he's a guy who knows how to do WordPress.
Yeah.
So
that's a good person to
know. 581-7054. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, if you're looking for some holiday family fun, then you need to be down there with the Sunset Heights Film Society, especially today at the International Museum of Art. They've got The Nightmare Before Christmas is being shown today at 2 p.m. in the theater. And this is a great thing they've been doing. Jay's been running the films down there, you know, continually every Saturday at 2 p.m. It's a free admission, free parking. They sell some fresh popcorn and, you know, have beverages and candy and snacks. It's a great little theater to watch movies in. And today, this is a great movie, The Nightmare Before Christmas. If you've never seen it, this is a place to go see it. It'd be wonderful.
Also, Jay will explain it to you if you
have
some details that you don't know.
Oh, yeah. He has some great trivia on
he's
all this
Mr.
kind of
movies
stuff.
In this town. He really is.
He really is, and he knows it all. Then on the 29th, he's got The King's Speech, which is by Momentum Pictures. And I'm not even really familiar. This is a fairly new one.
He could tell you.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It was filmed in 2010. And I plan on spending your Saturday afternoons with Jay at 2 p.m. for insightful commentary, antidotes, and the fun facts behind the films.
I was there last Sunday.
Oh, were you?
Oh, yeah,
last Saturday.
Saturday. And it is indeed a mystery to watch popcorn happen. It's really cool.
I love it. So again, it's at the International Museum of Art every Saturday, and they got a full lineup in January coming up. And it's, like I said, it's free. Get down there. It's a wonderful time, and it's a great way to spend. If you've got friends from out of town or family, head on down there.
Oh, as I learned more about that museum, they are actually international. They got permanent exhibits of the Mexican Revolution.
Well, yeah, you can go to see a film. You can go wander the museum while you're waiting for the film or after the film.
It's a really cool old building,
too. It's a great
way
to spend the
day. Oh, we got three callers now. We have three phone lines in this studio that function for this. William, George, and Ed. And Ed has a question for us.
Okay.
Uh-huh. We didn't ask Ed to give us the question.
Yeah, but
this
that's
is going to be
that's
good.
Why we, that's why we're here.
Are you
here.
Ready for William?
Let's take
William. Talk to this lady in the control room here. Whatever your name is. Your name is Melissa?
Yeah, I think so.
Talk to Mr.
Ed.
No, this is William.
Oh, William. Excuse me. William?
All right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, your guest said something about Ponce de Leon was here in El Paso?
Yes.
Not the same one in Florida.
No.
Okay. That's what I was confused about.
I know. A lot of people have that same question. No, it was different Ponce de Leon.
Yeah, no Fountain of Youth here.
No. You mean there's no truth that alligator pond was the Fountain
of
Youth?
Yeah, there
you
go.
Yeah. If you could survive it, you could live a lot longer.
It is kind of confusing, though, isn't it? William.
That was my question.
Okay.
Thanks
for calling.
In fact, we talked about Durango briefly. Ponce de Leon had gotten an option on some land north of the river. So he established the first settlement north of El Paso del Norte, which ultimately became Durango, but it got flooded out in 1829, and he moved further north towards where San Jacinto Plaza and the Camino Real Hotel are.
When he said he got a deal, was that from the new country of Mexico?
Yes.
Because otherwise it wouldn't have lasted.
Correct.
Okay, interesting
stuff.
Oh, moving on here, we got another caller in the order they call.
Thanks,
this William. Would be George. George, good morning. Got you on the radio.
Good morning. This is George, that highly paid volunteer in San Elizario.
At the Los Portales.
Yes, he's got his box of matches.
What? Hey, you got to share all that money with us.
What's up, George?
Listen, I think I heard Bernie say something that the first Christmas tree was not at San Jacinto, that it was a park named Pioneer Plaza.
You trying to answer the trivia question?
Yes.
Oh, in that case, you did. Oh. You got it.
Okay. I have a quick comment also after that.
Okay, you have to pick.
Hold on. George has a quick comment.
No, he doesn't.
Is that entirely possible?
No, it's not. But he has to pick a prize. Okay. You get either the
Pepe's.
You want Pepe's, don't
Pepe's
you?
Pepe's, of course.
Okay, Pepe's, of course, for George. All right, what's your story? What's your deal?
I just wanted to mention, and I was talking to my cousin, Sam Sanchez. He wrote an outstanding book, and I just wanted to... I was talking to him yesterday, and I believe he said he was going to be on the radio station sometime next month.
We have him in January. We do.
Yeah, okay. It is an outstanding book. You know, he mentioned a lot of the chapters came from a lot of the things that we already know, you know, the 1680 revolt in New Mexico. But what he has done, he has a lot of detail. There's several chapters that I knew some of the things in there, but he gives a lot of the detail. I found the book outstanding.
Well, now you're not going to tell me he was there at the time. You're not going to say that, are you?
I think what it was, he took some of the articles that he had written for the San Elizario Genealogy newsletter, and he incorporated them into that book.
Excellent.
But I thought that they would just be kind of, you know, minor things, a lot of things that we already knew about. But guess what?
What?
A lot of detail in every single chapter, a lot of detail that I didn't know anything about.
He did it better than you thought he would. So he did. It's a good book.
Much better. I think you'll have a good time.
All right. What's the name of the book?
Oh, the name is one of the things I didn't like. He called it Pirates in the Desert.
Yes.
And that's Pirates in the Desert by Sam Sanchez Sr.
Where can you get that book right now?
I'm not sure. When I went on Sunday, when they had a book signing this past Sunday.
At Portales, yeah. At the Adobe, yeah.
Yeah, probably so. You know, there should be some there at the Adobe Hotel.
All right. Well,
they said they were going to go to several schools and promote the book.
By the time he gets on the radio show, we'll have it figured out where to find him. But in the meantime, if you can get down, I would suggest calling either yourself at Portales or even someone maybe in the Sanchez family might know how to find. All right, we're going to move on here, George. But thanks for calling. You got yourself a prize. Can you hold on?
Alrighty, very good. Thank you very much. I know how to pick it up.
Yes, you do.
Merry Christmas, George.
Merry Christmas, George. All right, here comes Ed. Ed, we got you on the radio finally. What is up? That was Ed. Wait a minute, hold on here.
Ed was number one.
Jackson just got totally lost, and now we're going to Ed. I got Ed now, don't I?
Good morning, Ed.
Yes.
I do, Chad.
Go ahead. Ed, 3, 2, 1.
He's there.
Hello, sir. Are you there?
George is on three. Ed, go ahead. Oh, now.
Before you all.
No, now we finally.
Now we got it.
Oh, we're good.
Sorry,
Shelly,
Ed.
Shelly, I think I screwed it up. Shelly, you get George on three. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ed, on two. You don't even know you're
okay.
On two. Yes, sir.
Okay, I got a trivia for you all.
A trivia for us?
Ah.
Wow. That could be dangerous. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Okay, you know the Jingle Bell song. One Horse Open Sleigh is the name of the song. Jingle Bells Jingle, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay, what's the name of the horse pulling the sleigh? His name is mentioned in the song.
Oh, it's got to be Bernie.
Nope.
No?
I'm part of a horse, but not that.
Not that part. Okay. Now, do you want a prize? What is the real? What is the answer?
Well, the answer is Bob. The
bells on Bobtail's ring. Well, you know, I heard that and I thought, well, what is Bob?
I thought they were talking about the horse being bobtailed. Never mind.
So did I.
It's a bobtailed Clydesdale. His tail was cut off, so the bells on Bob's tail rings. You know?
Oh my God!
You smart ass!
Oh, let's give it to him. All right, what we got left this hour?
Merry Christmas and pray for your country.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, hey, would you like a prize?
Oh, I sure would.
Okay, we got DVDs left here. Let me do this. Let me put you on hold, and Shelly will come on and tell you which prizes we have. We got a whole bunch of DVDs here. Ed, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Hold on. Merry Christmas. Take her easy.
Yes.
Well, you know, if you're going to get silly at Christmas.
Smart Alec. That was great, though.
Why not put it on the radio?
He had me on that one. I'm like going, Bob's tail.
Well, you know, I heard that. I listened to it. There's some thing this
it
week.
It was a bobtail nag. Wasn't it a bobtail nag?
Yeah.
Ah, see, okay.
Ed has been imbibing with the eggnog a little bit too much this morning.
Hey, I'm ready to go with him on
that
one.
Bar's been open since Thursday over there. Jeezy peasy. All right, what's going on here? Shelly, you got this all under control? Okay, good. I want to thank Shelly in there for call screening because, you know, she sits there and does not a whole lot going on waiting for the phone.
She's had the eggnog in there, too.
And don't talk about the eggnog. But the thing is, when she gets busy, all of a sudden... Crazy. And guess who else is in the control room today?
Sergio Valenzuela!
Merry Christmas to all you people. And now, shall we go to a break and come back later?
I think we should.
Sergio, you ready for a break? Do one. See you in a minute.
This holiday... of taste, wine and dine in style, and shopping made simple to sensational from Mesa Street Grill. For every $100 you spend, receive $20 worth of gift cards, perfect for all your holiday parties. Hurry, because this offer expires December 24th. Come by Mesa Street Grill during happy hour and enjoy their new holiday cocktails and appetizers. Mesa Street Grill, making holiday shopping simple to sensational. Located on the corner of Mesa and Sun Bowl.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
The average smoker tries to quit up to 30 times, and many are looking for an alternative. Juul was designed by smokers, for smokers, to be a satisfying alternative to cigarettes. Juul is a vapor product that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. If you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's J-U-U-L.com.
Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
I got to tell you about Dr. Charles H. Martin. And if he's listening, he wouldn't expect me to say something like that. Ooh, what are you talking about? Well, what he's doing, he's a El Paso History Day dude. They're talking about their 2019 event. If you want to get your kids or your grandkids, that's what that noise is. Bernie's over there creeping around. But if you want to get your kids or your grandkids into history, they have a contest. And the 2019 theme is Triumph and Tragedy in History. And the date is February 23rd. We're telling you now, because if you want to get your kids involved in this stuff, it would be a good idea to do so right now. Here's a quote for you. History isn't about dates and places and wars. It's about the people who fill in the spaces between them. Interesting quote.
It's
anyway,
great, coming, great program.
Coming up here, the theme is the Triumph and Tragedy in History. And get involved in this. Get a hold of mcharles@utep.edu. And they have registration up until February 11th. We're telling this audience for two reasons. One is your kids or grandkids could get interested if you helped them push them a little bit. Or you can maybe come help and be a judge.
Yeah.
Or just help facilitate this event. So get a hold of those crowds. It'd be an interesting idea.
Let's get the kids in that win this year. Because they send them off into state, and they could eventually end up at national, and they can win scholarship
money. We will give it a try. We tried it last year, didn't quite make it. But by the time they're awarded, they're quite often out of school in May. So we'll see about the February day. Maybe we can get those kids in. Okay, what do you got? You got something good to read.
Well, okay, we've got I just put it away. What did I do that for?
Well, I thought you were supposed to read something.
I do. Okay, the Weiler Tramway.
Uh-oh.
Okay, the last Sunday hike's coming up December 30th at 7:30 a.m. And if you've got people in from out of town, what a great time of year to take them up on the mountain. They'll be meeting at the Thousand Steps Trail, which is at North Stanton at 7:30 a.m. And then they'll carpool to the tramway to hike the Directismo and then down the Thousand Steps Trails.
Back to your car.
Yes, down.
Is the whole point.
Yeah, the whole point. Go down to the other side to your car, and they'll carpool back to the tramway to the rest of the vehicle, and they want you to bring water and snacks and such. But this is a great way to get some family out to see the beauty of the mountains. This is a wonderful time of year, too. It's usually pretty doggone clear. You can see for miles. But carpooling is necessary, and then they have their first day hike Tuesday, January 1st, and that'll be at 8 a.m.
Oh, my God.
What a great way to straighten out after a
I just go straight from the party over to there.
I was, hey, that'll get you straightened out real quick up there. And and they'll hike direct Teesmo Trail to the Ranger's Peak and then down through Thousand Steps Trail. And that meeting point will be at Thousand Steps Trail at 4999 North Stanton Street. And from there, they will
just
carpool.
Call them up.
Yeah, just give them a call. Yeah, give Diana May a call at 562-9899.
Have you ever done that trail? You haven't done a bunch of hiking up there.
I've been up there running around, but no, not those
trails. I've actually done that one trail where we hiked. We took the tramway up back in the day when it was running for that, and we did the carpool with the cars.
Yeah, and I love to hike. My left knee doesn't allow me.
Well, 1,000 steps is really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they that's a whole other story. Yeah. We'll get to that at some point. All right, Bernie Sargent's in the house. We've got to talk some Christmas history, Mr. Bernard.
You do?
What do you got? Well, you've been sitting over here being quiet. Oh, major drum roll for Pepe's ready.
What is the special today at Pepe's?
Today's special at Pepe's is folded tacos, either chicken or beef.
I want that.
Either chicken or beef.
I want them both.
Okay.
And that's today at a Pepe's, chicken or beef tacos folded. What if they're not folded? They're just open face.
They're open face? You get a discount.
You get a discount anyway. Okay.
What's the labor folding them?
The perk being is that you get $6 for whatever this machine thinks.
$10.
There you go. Normally it's 10. And then we're going to give it to you 6.
That's right. Merry Christmas from
Merry
Pepe
Christmas
to you.
From Pepe's. And I hope they have room for us out there today. But your story is about Christmas and Zach White. Pick a direction.
Well, we can touch on the Christmas thing just a little bit more because we had gotten the momentum going. And that was that in 1926, the city tree was located at the City Hall Park, which is right in front of the old City Hall.
Which is where?
That was down on...
San Antonio?
San Antonio, yeah.
Really?
Yep. And then the tree was moved to San Jacinto Plaza in 1930.
Okay.
And there it's been ever since.
There have been some very interesting things happening in the plaza. One, you know, they built an entire little mountain of Cristo Rey.
In the
plaza.
Yeah. Well, 1930 to 1937, the city, because of the Depression, couldn't afford a tree. So A.B. Poe paid for the tree out of his own pocket to keep it going, which is kind of a nice thing when you think about it.
A lot of Poe folks.
A lot. Yeah.
You were going to say that, so I thought I'd be...
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, well, I might have, okay.
Okay.
Well, then in 1937, they started playing music in the park during the Christmas holidays so people could enjoy the music. It was kind of funny. A guy by the name of Tiny Snyder played a Hammond organ at the Hotel Hilton. Tiny Snyder. Not to be confused with gargantuan Snyder.
300 pounds.
Yeah. Usually somebody named Tiny is rather large.
300 pounds.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting because he was actually playing in the Hilton Hotel, but the music was piped over to the park.
They piped it?
With electric, you know, they ran a wire over there with speakers.
They really had those back then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did. So it was kind of cool. They hid the speakers in the trees.
Ooh, Disney-esque.
I know. That was a long time before Bluetooth. So the thing has progressed, you know, going forward. The record-setting 80-foot tree that was used in the park was in 1949 and 1950. Up to that point, the record was 70 feet, so they were going for big back in those days.
I remember back when they had live trees brought in for that each year. They go kill some big thing in Cloudcroft and drag it down. They cut all the branches off. Then they drill holes and put the branches
back in. I know.
And it's like, what?
I know.
That just ruined it for me.
Well, 1998 is when Corinne Boyce donated a 40-foot living pine tree.
Yes, that's a good idea.
To put there, yeah. It was a great, great donation.
They almost killed it in the renovation, but they didn't quite.
In fact, prior to that, the question was, we need to trim it up to make it look like a Christmas tree. No, you don't do that. That's just the natural shape of that particular kind of tree. And so a number of us got together and said, no, can't do that. The city arborist put his foot down and said, that's not going to happen.
Good.
And like you said, when they were starting to do the renovation, they cut into some of the roots and they almost lost the tree totally.
We have an arborist?
Yes, we do.
Oh, my God. Is that a full-time job?
It is. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm glad they do because he kind of puts a kibosh on some of the silly things that the folks do.
I didn't know we had one. Okay.
Yeah. All right. In fact, Pearson.
Who?
What's his name? I can't remember his first name.
Oh, I totally forgot his first name. But yeah, he has Pearson Tree Farm. He used to be up in Canada.
The guy knows what he's doing. Good. Yeah. Okay, excellent.
So he's very good at it. Yeah, and in fact, if you call him at the city and you have a question about plants, he'll be more than happy to answer it.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a pretty good guy like that.
All right, what else you got to know?
Okay. One of the biggest plaza expenses is the holiday tree lighting and parade. And in 2004, it was estimated $30,000 to do that whole ceremony.
That was worth it.
Yeah, I think so. It attracts a lot of people. Well, now they've got even more lights. And
the place is like lit up like crazy down there.
And they've closed off some streets, so they have some vendors down there. They also have an ice skating rink next to the Plaza Theater between that and the Museum of Art. We can go in and pretend you're on ice, but it's actually synthetic. Kind of a cool thing. And
why is it synthetic?
Well, it's cost a lot of money to freeze water.
But what is it?
It's a Teflon-type material.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's pretty neat.
So you fall down, you're not so cold.
You're not cold, but you don't get wet, but you still hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, especially at our age. Yes. But, yeah, it's
well,
kind of
your age, maybe.
I glance. I don't fall.
Why? What else?
Yeah. So it's kind of a neat thing that they're doing downtown. It's attracting a lot of people. It's very, very pretty down there.
Well, it's fun just to walk around, see other people getting excited about, look, how many pictures are taken every minute down, like 1,000 a minute.
I like to crash the
people
pictures.
And your little funny Bernie hat.
Yeah, and then when people get home, go, where'd that come from?
Who's that Bernie-looking guy in my picture?
Who's that guy, yeah. I think I saw his picture in the post office. So, that's some of the things that they did downtown with it. With the San Jacinto Plaza, and previous to that, Pioneer, and then also the City Hall. So kind of a cool thing that they do that, and I'm glad they do, because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it does attract people. A lot of El Pasoans go down here, and usually that's the only time they go downtown, so it's kind of a neat thing to get them down there to see some of the other stuff that's going on.
There was a discussion about not having a nativity. At one point they did not, and then all of a sudden they did. And so just so people know, that's it's still there.
That's that same person that complained about the gunfire.
Right. Oh, was it really?
No. One person complains, everybody suffers, right?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's my political statement.
I hear
day.
You. You. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a cool thing. We have a lot of fun down there. We're going to be down there later this week, or I should say next week after Christmas, doing some things. So maybe we'll see you down there.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun just to hang out and be in the plaza.
That's right.
Well, okay, so for the deal about Zach White, we might start in on Zach now if you want.
Yeah, sure.
Or do you have more Christmas thinking?
No, it's kind of, we kind of touched on a lot of the different things with the Christmas celebrations.
Well, Christmas gets around in El Paso. I remember back in the day, just to put a point on that, when all the luminarios were all over the place, like Burgess High School area had just nothing but luminarios everywhere.
Yeah.
And then the, what's that area, over by Radford School in Loretto?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What is it?
Manhattan Heights.
There you go.
And that was just full of luminarios everywhere.
Now we've got them on our street this morning.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. Coronado Band put them out there this morning.
So it's happening all over the place.
Yeah.
And we used to do the First Christian Church at 901 Arizona, and that was a bizarre thing because that's a huge building. Mm-hmm. And here we were, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids climbing that roof, like thinking, hey, we know what we're doing. I'm surprised nine of us didn't get killed.
Yeah.
We had candle fights up on top. No, we don't talk about that.
No.
Can't talk about that. That's not real Christmassy.
No, but at least you would die on sacred ground.
It's what I remember.
Yeah. Well, we do the yuppie luminarias. We've got a big crate, boxes full of the plastic bags and stuff. I didn't put them out this year. I just ran out of time.
You mean you flipped a switch and put batteries in it or
yeah.
what?
Yeah. No batteries. You just plug it in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, we've got those in the backyard. Haven't set them up. But anyway, it's fun stuff.
Get them up now for next year. Whatever.
I love the holiday. Yeah, I said that last year, too. Actually, 2 years ago, I had them up there when our friends from the posse showed up with their horses. And
beat them to death.
Yeah, and they walked over them. So we suffered some damage. And then we couldn't get one horse off the front lawn because it was afraid of the luminarias.
Oh, you have a horse fire.
Yeah.
Oh, look out.
As opposed to a horse fly.
Or a house fire. Don't do that.
So, fun stuff. But anyway, I'm hoping everybody in El Paso has a great, great Christmas.
Well, the weather's perfect for it. I mean, it's going to be like 70 degrees today.
Yeah. Slight chance of rain on Christmas, but we'll rule that out.
I used to live in the East Coast. I'm looking at them on the news saying, oh, my God, I'm glad I'm not over there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's why we live in the West.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania. So
no.
The lake effect snow. That was before the term lake effect was in effect.
Or
wind chill factor. It was just colder than and
just up the
snow
road.
Was really, really deep. Yeah, Buffalo.
Up the road is where my relatives, some of my wife's relatives were.
Yeah.
We've been in there in the winter, and it was like, why in the world are we doing this?
Oh, yeah. Well, my uncle, I talked to him last year, and he says he was so excited because he got a snowblower that has a hand warmer.
Oh.
I went, well, now there's something to motivate
How
you.
How exciting. I've got a snow shovel I moved from Maryland, and it's still beat up, but on the one or two times since I've used it since I've been here, boy, it came in handy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used it to pick up the leaves in the backyard.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know,
you're great for picking up leaves.
And if you don't do the snow shoveling in El Paso by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's gone. So
just give it a couple of minutes.
So
yeah, so it's like when we moved here, the guy that hired me to move down here said it doesn't snow. We got here on a Saturday. The next morning, there were 7 inches of snow on the ground. I went,
Yeah, right.
When did I start believing him?
Well, the only time I really think it's bad is when we have a Sun Bowl and it snows. I mean, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's happened twice that
yes,
I know
it
of.
Has.
Yeah, bad yeah we were at that thing, too.
All right, so but that's times. That ain't going to happen this year. So,
no, I don't think so.
We're going to take a break here in the El Paso History Radio Show, talking to Bernie Sargent, Melissa Sargent's here.
Yeah.
All these sergeants.
Sergeants everywhere.
You're major sergeants, aren't you?
I'm a general sergeant.
I see. And so it goes.
I'm General Mayhem.
Should we take hey, the bar's been open around here, it sounds like, here, too. Goodness gracious. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Call us if you think you got a story you want to share.
I think they should. Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina. 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
This holiday season, Four Rivers Equipment is gifting you a great offer with our holiday bonus. Get 0% for 60 months. At Four Rivers Equipment, we have 0% for 60 months available on new in-stock John Deere skid steers, compact track loaders, or mini excavators. Don't miss our holiday bonus at Four Rivers Equipment, your working partner. Visit fourriversequipment.com/holidaybonus. Ends 12/31/18. Must finance with John Deere Financial. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Looking to buy a car? Online shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for the car you want and see what other people paid for it too. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
History lessons. Are you ready for your history lessons?
History
as the door.
Lesson.
And don't let the door hit you on the way out. Anyway, it's Harvey Girls of El Paso, Texas, meeting Monday, January 14th. 2 p.m., and it's a Union Passenger Station Depot. The program is the History of Railroad Police Protecting Passengers and Freight. Or Pinkerton people, maybe. Woody Bear is going to do that one. Visitors are welcome, 591-2326. El Paso Genealogy Society will meet Thursday, January 10th, 6 p.m., St. Paul's Methodist Church, Edgemere off of Airways. Program researching your Mexican ancestors. And that's going to be interesting. You may have Mexican ancestors you don't even know about.
That's right.
591-2326. What do you got?
Well, I got the Southwest Chapter of Railway and Locomotive Historical Society will meet Wednesday, January 9th at 6 p.m. at El Sarape Restaurant over there at 5103 Montana. And their program is The Life and Times of Female Railroad Engineers on the Union Pacific. And this is being presented by Yvette Lerma. And visitors, of course, are welcome. And you need to call 760-5775 for more information. Excuse me. And then you have the El Paso Corral of the Westerners International, and they will meet Friday, January 18th at the Holiday Inn at at Sunland Park Drive there at I-10. And they're talking Camp Cody in Deming, New Mexico, World War I training camp presented by Jim Eccles. And that's dinner and program. It's only $20. Call 759-9538 to make a reservation. Club Friendship of St. Paul's Methodist Church will meet Tuesday, January 22nd at 11:30 a.m. at 7000 Edgemere, and their program is Donut Dollies and the Red Cross in Korea and Turkey, presented by Billy McCann. And that's a luncheon program, and you can give them a call at 591-2326. But they're all great programs, great way to learn a little bit of history.
History everywhere in El Paso. Yeah. We're talking to Bernie Sargent about some Christmas history. Also, maybe a little Zachary. Where do you want to go with this, dude? Well,
you mentioned the railroad. In 1902, November 21st, Zach White was part of a committee that raised $13,000 to put forward the motion to build the depot.
Oh.
Yeah, so he was one of the many that got the ball rolling so they could build the
Well, Zach White was, how did he get here?
He got here by stage.
He really did.
He really did.
When was it before the trains then?
Well, it was actually the train was 22 miles outside of El Paso.
Oh, so he took the train to there?
Yeah.
And then 22 miles on a stagecoach.
It's an interesting story about Zach White.
Oh.
He was born in Virginia.
Microphone more. I know that it needs Viagra. It keeps going.
Yeah.
Okay, there you are.
A little purple screwdriver.
That much better.
Yeah. So anyway, what happened was Zach was born in Amherst County, Virginia, which is not too far from Lynchburg. And that was back in 18... Well, hold on. I'll tell you in just a second.
But the point was he got here as the railroads were getting here.
Yeah.
And well, he knew to do so.
He had... the Civil War broke out, and he finished... You know, he was like 7 years old when it broke out, so that, you do the math. And followed his brothers to Texas after the war was over.
I can't do the math.
Okay. After the war was over, followed his brothers to Texas, and he first went to Austin, where he worked with his brother building the water facility down there.
That's where he learned that.
Yeah. And then from there, he went up to Dallas and worked with another partner. And all the while, he was putting money in his pocket, saving money. And from Dallas, he went over to Waco, where he was instrumental in putting in their water system. And took that money. He looked at the map. He heard all about the growth of El Paso and the fact there was going to be three major rail lines going into El Paso in 1 year. Actually, it turned out to be even bigger. But he thought, well, this is a place to go if you want to invest and make some money. Now, here's a guy that never even finished grade school. So he decided he was going to take the train to El Paso, but he found there had been a lot of problems with skirmishes with the Indians. So he looked at the maps. He went up to Denver, figuring he'd take the railroad south into El Paso.
Wow.
But the folks up there were reporting that they had been attacked by Indians. So he decided, well, let's see, if I have to go around Cape Horn, I will, but I'm going to get to El Paso. So he went to San Francisco.
Oh, no.
And then from San Francisco, he caught the train down south, and he picked up the train into the very end at the 22-mile stretch, and he caught a stagecoach in from there.
He came in from the west.
From the west.
That's bizarre.
So the article in the newspaper said he traveled 6,000 miles to get to El Paso.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a good thing because what that guy did was amazing.
Oh, he was involved in a lot of different things. He had actually sewn $10,000 in his vest.
Oh, to just get it across the country?
He wanted to make sure if they got held up that they wouldn't find the money.
So yeah, but after a while, the robbers are going to start taking all your coats.
Yeah, the term vested comes into play. No, never mind.
No, I don't go there.
No, it doesn't go there.
But so Zach White, was his name really Zachary?
Yes.
It
was Zachary White.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Talafiero was his middle name. Now, remember that name from the B-36?
Yeah.
Talafiero. I'm going to look into that and see if he's related to any of the folks, the gentleman that was killed in the plane crash.
The B-36 plane crash on Mount Franklin, what was that, December, give or take, 12th?
1953.
Yeah. And the pilot or somebody was the extra passenger.
The extra passenger.
Was Taliaferro.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It'd be interesting to find out if they were relatives. So anyway, Zach's parents were actually from England and Scotland. That's where the name came from.
Okay.
Not Italy.
So Zach shows up and he does all kinds of neat stuff.
Well, he gets involved initially in an Adobe building. He was had a store there. And from the Adobe building, he saw somebody was building a bricks and mortar structure. So he moved in and half rented that building out. And then he sold his interest in that building. And from that building, he decided to do more investment in buying land and so on. And we'll take a break.
We take a break here and come back and talk more about this with Bernie Sargent and find out how come if you live in the Upper Valley, you have land that once was owned by Zach White.
That's right.
No matter who you are, pretty much, right?
Yes, and Barbara Givenbaney put a note on there that she also, that Zach White had a brick farm.
I was going to talk about that in the next hour.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
and,
okay.
And,
sorry.
And what is his great-great-grandson doing now?
Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing.
Oh, interesting. But where is his office?
His office? In the old building there at...
That's the water manager for Zach White. Lives in that building.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about this after the break. Shall we do that?
We shall do that.
See you after the news.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
iHeartRadio, all the Christmas songs you want. iHeartRadio, with you while you're wrapping gifts. iHeartRadio, Christmas tunes for every mood. iHeartRadio, here's a guide to tell you more.
iHeartRadio is your home for Christmas music. Commercial-free iHeart Christmas Radio with all your favorites. North Pole Radio with Santa, even iHeart Christmas Rock. Plus, now you can tell Alexa to play Christmas music on iHeartRadio. Your music, your stations and podcasts, anytime, anywhere. iHeartRadio.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Jeffries.
President Trump is delaying his planned trip to Florida amid the partial government shutdown. The White House says the president's scheduled departure remains on hold as efforts continue to reach a compromise deal. Trump originally planned to leave Washington on Friday for a two-week visit to his Mar-a-Lago resort. Congress recessed late last night with no agreement to fund the government. Numerous federal agencies are shut down. The seven affected include the State Department, the Department of Homeland Security, and the EPA. The House and Senate had agreed on a short-term funding bill to keep the lights on, but President Trump rejected the measure since it didn't include $5 billion for a border wall.
The only thing that's going to stop that is great border security. With a wall or a slat fence or whatever you want to call it, but we need a great barrier.
The House passed a bill with those funds. However, Republicans in the Senate failed to muster enough votes for it to pass. The CDC reports a dozen people needed treatment after developing infections from contaminated stem cells. People in Arizona, Florida, and Texas received infusions or injections of stem cell products derived from umbilical cord blood earlier this year. The products were contaminated with bacteria. The stem cell products were processed by San Diego-based Genentech. The CDC said Thursday the products are not approved by the Food and Drug Administration and are not marketed lawfully. If you need a rideshare ride during the busiest part of this year's holiday season, your chances of getting one without delay aren't bad. Harry Campbell, a rideshare expert and driver for Lyft, says his company and other rideshare firms are ready.
Really what it means is they increase prices when demand is at its highest, and what that does is encourage people like me who are part-time drivers to come out on the road because now I can actually make more money.
Campbell says rideshare companies raise prices to add more drivers during busy periods. Lyft happens to call it prime-time pricing. Lyft has also added features like express pay and schedule flexibility to attract more drivers. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Andrea Thomas checking in with our partners in the CBS 4WARN Weather Center for a look at weekend weather. Warm and breezy in the borderland today under sunny skies. Temperatures moving into the lower 70s. Winds out of the southwest, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Overnight temperatures on the mild side, only cooling off to about 40. As we head into Sunday, skies will become partly cloudy and those temperatures slightly cooler with highs in the mid-60s. For your complete forecast, head over to cbs4local.com.
The FDA is alert.